When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You are now entering a critical thinking zone. Thinking caps are required beyond this point. From deep behind enemy lines, deep in the heart of the Midwest, it's your host, Andrew Coppins. And it's time for critical thinking.
What if I told you that Aaron Judge is the home run king of Major League Baseball? What if I told you that China had access to our election data? And what if I told you it was a WTF Wednesday? Well, all of that is true. I'm Andrew Coppins. He's Pat Oney. This is Critical Thinking. Thank you so much for tuning in. Of course, you can follow on social media. I'm at The Coppins Show. He's at The Pat Oney Show. And of course, on Instagram, you can follow at Critical Thinking Show. Wow, Pat. We finally got it. It took almost a week. Aaron Judge hits home run number 62, not even just breaking the Yankees' all-time record for home runs in a single season. He does it last night just by the skin of his teeth on the season, right? Two games left after yesterday? And so he breaks that record. He breaks the AL record, the American League record for most home runs in a season. And dare I say, he is the all-time home run king?
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Oh, wait. Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, the summer of 98.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. All three of those individuals were caught or admitted to taking performance-enhancing drugs during those seasons.
So I have a question, though. Because I think, generally speaking, that would be considered cheating. Right.
Correct. So should we be recognizing them as legitimate home run kings? Because Barry Bonds is the home run king, right?
Right. So I have a question in regards to that. And that is, if it was considered cheating, why didn't Major League Baseball forfeit those records?
You know, it's a really good question. And I don't know if you saw the documentary on 30 for 30 about McGwire and Sosa in the summer of 98, that chase for the home run title that took place that summer. I don't know if you saw it. I don't know if you were paying attention in the summer of 98, by the way. Because you would have been all of like, what, 10?
10. That's what I'm saying. I vaguely remember this going on.
So I have a theory as to why Major League Baseball is not disassociating itself from those home run records. And it's a two-part theory. Part number one of this is they don't want to open themselves up to lawsuits from Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, and Sammy Sosa, especially baseball been very, very good to Sammy Sosa. He's a little, how shall we say this, lawsuit happy. But the second part of this theory is that the summer of 98 saved baseball. And while we know that a lot of people in that era were cheating, was it cheating if it wasn't illegal?
And I guess that's my question. And if it wasn't illegal, then can you take those records away from those guys? And can you truly say that Aaron Judge is now the greatest hitter of all time?
I think you can, because and here's the part that bothers me with these types of situations, right? Because technically Barry Bonds, technically Mark McGwire, technically Sammy Sosa, but watch Aaron Judge play baseball and tell me he's not better than all three of those players. At least better than Sosa and McGwire. Because I can make an argument that Barry Bonds' body of work prior to him deciding to take performance-enhancing drugs showcases an individual who is a five-tool player. He was a Hall of Famer without having to take those drugs.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely.
By the way, Pat, question for you. Is your fitted hat size changed at all in the last 10 years or so?
Huh?
Because that's what happened to Barry Bonds when he took performance-enhancing drugs. I'll give you a hint. Once your skull has been fully formed and once you grow into being an adult, your hat size ain't changing unless you get fat or, and fat in the head, or you take performance-enhancing drugs. And that's exactly what happened to Barry Bonds during the year when he hit 71.
Right, right. Was it 71 or 73?
Or 73, excuse me. Yep,
yeah.
73. At that point, what's the difference? But I look at Aaron Judge and I think, okay, number one, we're testing for these performance-enhancing drugs, right? Number two, does he look like somebody who needs to take them? No.
No.
Number three, he is a five-tool player, whether he hits home runs or not. And number three, he is an absolute. So if I'm building a way to market baseball in this era, right, it's Otani, it's Aaron Judge, and it's the pitchers like Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burns in Milwaukee. That's who I'm marketing baseball around, because they're fun people. Otani can hit and pitch like crazy.
Right.
Aaron Judge is absolutely amazing. And maybe you could do Juan Soto. Oh, oopsies.
Well, what about guys like Clayton Kershaw's, maybe a few years ago you could say that. Right.
Right. He's on the back end of his career.
Right.
So I don't know how you market, but you look at Woodruff, Burns, Judge, Otani, right? Those are, I think, the four players that if you wanted to build a personality of the game around, those are the players you do it with, because they are proven stars on the mound and at the plate.
That's fair. That's fair. I also think that you could, if you were going to go on like a team by team basis, though, I think it'd be like the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Perhaps you are correct, but here's the rub again. They're on the West Coast, and it's very difficult to market West Coast teams to an East Coast audience. I'm just saying, like, if you're going to put out marketing material, right, if you're going to put out commercials, these are the four players that I look to.
But that's why you do it player by player, though, right?
Absolutely. 100%. So I question whether or not Major League Baseball would take the step that they need to in this situation. And because for everybody that's in my, so I would say 45 and below, or even 35 and up, maybe is the way I would go with this. it's easy to recognize him as the best home run hitter of all time on a single season level because we know these people cheated. So whether or not he actually holds that record, but we look at the comments of Roger Maris Jr. last week, Pat, right? And the comments of Roger Maris Jr. last week were, it is time for Major League Baseball to recognize Aaron Judge as the best home run hitter, single season home run hitter of all time. It is time for them to strip those records and give Aaron Judge that title. I don't disagree with him.
No, but, I mean...
But we could also give you the argument of, well, did the Black Sox exist or not? Right? We all know that the right. Chicago Black Sox were the best team in baseball during that 1918 season, right?
Right.
Or is it 1913? One of the two. But
I think you're right. I think it was 1918.
Yeah. Yep. So my point in that being, just because you would take those away doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, we all know that they hit them.
Right.
But then again, do you not reward people for systemic cheating of the game? There's a lot to unpack in this. I would make the argument, this is where I come down on that, you strip them and you give Aaron Judge the title because it's clean.
I don't disagree. I just don't see Major League Baseball ever doing that.
They're too busy telling us that there's going to be 30 rules before somebody can throw a pitch next year. Have you seen that?
No.
So there is a pitch count, or not a pitch count, a pitch clock, not only in between innings or the half inning, right? Where I think you had 3 minutes, right, to warm up. I think that's what it was, or 2 minutes or whatever it is. So that exists. Now you've got 20 seconds, okay, between pitches. So you're on a pitch count or a pitch clock.
No.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
And by the way, the umpires must also, in that 20 seconds, recognize whether or not there are two infielders on both sides of second base, and their feet must totally be not touching the grass. So it can't be like their tippy toes are touching the inside of the dirt. It means all part of their feet, all parts of their feet have to be inside the grass.
Stop messing with the game of baseball.
Oh, did I also tell you, Pat, that quote unquote for player safety and speeding the game up, they're making the bases instead of 15 inches around, it's 18 now. So they're increasing the base size by 3 inches of pop.
Stop messing with the game of baseball.
There's like five different rules that will happen next year that literally the umpires have to do at least four things prior to a pitch being thrown. And oh, by the way, if you violate the pitch count or the pitch clock, it's a ball. Also, the batter must not go fully, once they step into the batter's box the first time, they must not fully disengage from the batter's box again.
What?
During the pitch clock, when the pitch clock is going, they must be inside the batter's box. And if they are not, it's a strike. And if they get caught a second time during that at-bat, they're out.
Stop messing with the game of baseball.
Baseball's becoming the old version of the NFL, the not fun league.
Yeah. I will say this, though. I do like that they put in the Ohtani rule.
What's that?
So it's where all pitchers are you have a designated hitter in all parks now.
I don't like that. I'm a purist. What's the difference between the National League and the American League anymore? There isn't one. There should be. That's the point. Baseball is different. These were separate leagues for a reason. Just call it something else then. Don't call it the American League and the National League. It doesn't matter, especially since next year, Major League Baseball is also making the initiative every team must play each other. No.
No, I disagree with that too. But here's my rub with that is that I like the idea of a pitcher being able to hit even after he's done pitching.
How?
That's how Ohtani plays. So basically he's the designated hitter on the Angels, right? So when he's pitching, if they take him out as the pitcher, he can still hit.
Okay, so I understand that, but he's the only one that that applies to. There's not a single other player that that would apply to.
I'm just saying it gives teams the option to do that.
Yeah, no. See, I enjoy what's been going on in the National League is exactly why I hate American League Baseball. It's boring as shit. It's not fun to watch because there's no strategy involved. It's just straight do. You know, here are the three things that are going to happen. There's no strategy involved. There's no nothing. And especially next year when we're getting rid of shifts and all of those things. And the ironic part about that, Pat, by the way, not to go on a complete tangent, is this. As this season has progressed, hitters have adjusted. That's the point, right? Throughout right. history of baseball, hitters and pitchers have adjusted to each other over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Hitters are starting to adjust to those shifts, and I've said it for a very long time. I don't care that Christian Yelich or whoever rakes at the plate, right? Now, Christian Yelich hasn't done that for 3 years, but hey, in his prime when he couldn't hit to the left side of the field at all, right? What were they doing? They were placing the third baseman at shortstop. Throw a long bunt down the third baseline. Start learning to hit to the opposite field. It's an art. People have made a living off of that, by the way. And now we're seeing it. We've seen a lot more bunting into the shifts. We've seen a lot more people taking check swings and plopping one right over third base. Now baseball's going to overreact to the shift into the analytics side of things. Baseball and its leadership don't know what the hell they're doing. They've ruined that game so bad. So bad. It's honestly almost unwatchable.
Like I said, stop messing with the game of baseball.
With that being said, Pat, you know what else is really bad? Storing election information on Chinese servers.
Talking about U.S. election data?
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. Why would you do that?
I don't really know. That's right, folks. We're starting WTF Wednesday a little early here on the program. We will still be doing the be or not the be. Do not your little heart worry. So overnight, this news breaks, Pat. CEO of U.S. election software firm Konec or whatever, arrested for storing data on servers in China. You might be asking, Pat, who in the blue hell would do something like that, considering they're, I don't know, allegedly an American company, right?
I am asking that, actually, but yeah.
Wait for this name. Eugene Yu.
Gee.
Hmm.
Where does that name originate from?
Can't imagine. Yu, 51, was arrested early Tuesday just outside of Lansing, Michigan, after prosecutors alleged that he improperly stored the information on servers in China. According to the Los Angeles County District Attorney, George Gascoigne. Now, George Gascoigne is a detestable, horrible human being who has done what he has done to the county of LA. But Yu, who is the chief executive officer of a company named Konec, is expected to be extradited to Los Angeles in the coming days. Konec allegedly violated its contract by storing critical information that the election workers in Los Angeles County, this is why Gascoigne is going after these individuals, okay? Koenig allegedly violated its contract by storing critical information that the workers provided on servers in China. We intend to hold all of those responsible for this breach accountable. And prosecutors learned of the data breach this year through a quote-unquote separate investigation undertaken by the district attorney's office, according to Gascoigne. He would not say what the other investigation was or exactly when his office became aware of the breach. Now, Koenig issued a statement that read, in part, quote, "We are continuing to ascertain the details of what we believe to be Mr. Yu's wrongful detention by L.A. County authorities. Any L.A. County poll worker data that Koenig may have possessed was provided to it by L.A. County and therefore could not have been stolen as suggested." That's not what's being alleged, but hey. Now, given the statement that was put out here, Pat, simple question for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Does this sound like a reputable company?
No, no, it doesn't.
Pray tell why.
First of all, I mean, this sounds kind of treasonous. Second of all, there's a conflict of interest here.
Third of all, does this sound like a Chinese company trying to cover its tracks? Now, here's the ironic part of this, Pat. On Monday, the New York Times ran an article claiming that election deniers had made Koenig the center of a conspiracy theory. The article also claimed that the election deniers had used quote-unquote threadbare evidence to suggest that Koenig had secret ties to the Chinese Communist Party and had given the Chinese government backdoor access to personal data about 2 million poll workers in the United States of America. And they claimed that the investigations against Koenig demonstrate how far-right election deniers are also giving more attention, to new and more secondary companies and groups.
And we're to believe that the election wasn't stolen?
Koenig, based in Michigan, had been contracted by both Los Angeles County and Allen County, Indiana, to work on quote-unquote election logistics such as scheduling poll workers. The Times states that Koenig had said none of the accusations were true, and it says that all the data for its American customers were stored on servers or services in the United States and that it had no ties to the Chinese government. The Times lamented the damage done to Koenig's reputation by these election deniers who claimed that the company had ties to the CCP. That was on Monday, Pat. On Tuesday, the Times had to write that you had been arrested and that data collected by Koenig had indeed been stored on servers in China. True the vote. You know, that super right-wing election-denying group. Oh, wait. Stated that they were able to download the personal information of some 1.8 million poll workers from Koenig servers in China. True the vote, passed this information on to the FBI. That is a violation of all sorts of election laws, Pat. That is a massive violation of election laws, not to mention the violation of all sorts of how you store personal data.
And you now wonder why the American people have trust issues with our election system.
Koenig.
Yeah, I really got trust issues now.
So, question for you, Pat.
Uh-huh.
If you truly were not tied to the CCP, or if you truly had no ties to China, right? Wouldn't it be pretty easy to say something about this being a mistake and we take election integrity seriously, blah, blah, blah. All this is not true, blah, blah, blah. Instead, what are they doing? They're going you're just a bunch of election deniers and this is information that couldn't have been stolen because it was provided to you and us by Los Angeles County. dot, dot, dot. Does that sound curious. Like a company that has integrity?
No, but I'm also curious. Are they going to still be saying that when they're sitting in jail?
And we're supposed to believe that our elections are safe, secure. Most importantly, no foreign influence in our election at all. Mm. And most importantly, Pat, even if they didn't influence the election directly, they now have got 1.8 million people's personal data. What the hell do you think the Chinese are going to do with that information, Pat? Why? Why are those things just magically stored on Chinese servers as opposed to, I don't know, the millions of options available to you right here in the United States of America, some of which are right in your backyard, right, Pat?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. You know what they're going to do? They're going to influence future elections. That's what they're going to do.
What?
They're going to influence future elections. That's what they're going to do. Watch it happen. Or at least they're going to try.
Ay. All right. So before we get any further into the WTF stories of the day, Pat, I think it is also time for us to play the B or not the B. Are you ready to do that?
Oh, I'm ready.
To do that.
I'm always.
Apparently, I can't speak English or Chinese today.
No, you can't.
I can never speak Chinese ever because I don't know how to. And apparently, I also don't know how to speak English today. And I usually do. You're debatable.
It's debatable.
You're debatable.
I know I'm debatable, but anyway. You ready for today's headline?
Yeah, sure.
Today's headline. SNL writers forced to make fun of Trump again as there is nothing funny about current president. SNL writers forced to make fun of Trump again as there is nothing funny about current president. Is this the B or not the B? That is the question.
Hmm.
And while you're thinking about that, Andrew Coppins, what do you got in your coffee cup there this morning?
I've got some coffee brand coffee. That's what I've got.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And is the coffee brand coffee something that the folks should invest in?
Yes, but I do have a question back at you, Pat. Do you like hot cocoa?
I do, actually.
Okay. Well, guess what? Coffeebrandcoffee.com also provides you with small-batched hot chocolate. That's right. You can get multiple versions of hot chocolate. So if you are not a coffee drinker, for whatever reason, health-related or whatever, you can go to coffeebrandcoffee.com, get yourself some hot chocolate for the coming winter season. Again, go to coffeebrandcoffee.com, enter the promo code critical thinking at checkout for 5% off of your purchase.
Just for kicks, because we do have a Keurig for hot chocolate. Mm-hmm. Is it Keurig available?
Let me check on that for you. I'm going to go with probably not, but I don't know.
No. Okay. Well,
we'll find out. We'll find out. Nope.
Darn it.
I'm not seeing it. But
that's your fault.
There's a good piece of news, Pat. All you need to is heat it up in the microwave or on the stove.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
They also have velvety hot cocoa, caramel hot cocoa, and marshmallow hot cocoa available for your needs, here, Pat.
Alrighty. I'm definitely going to be looking into that then.
It is made with real cocoa and marshmallows, by the way.
Okay.
No artificial sweeteners, no preservatives, no artificial flavors or colors. Just straight up good hot cocoa.
Definitely looking into that. All right. So go to coffeebrandcoffee.com.
Enter the promo code critical thinking at checkout, 5% off your purchase today.
SNL writers forced to make fun of Trump again as there is nothing funny about current president. Is this the B or not the B? Andrew Coppins, your answer.
I so want this to be not the B, but this is definitely the Babylon B.
Are you sure?
I'm about as sure as you are that your Cincinnati Reds are hot garbage.
As I'm sure my Cincinnati Reds are what?
Hot garbage.
No, that's an insult to hot garbage.
Ouch, man. Ouch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how bad they were this year. In any case, you are correct, though. This is the Babylon Bee.
And your Reds are garbage. Yep.
Mm-hmm. They're worse than garbage. But yeah. Saturday Night Live has launched yet another season featuring more parodies of former President Donald Trump. The cast and crew stated they would love to make fun of the current president, too, if only ever he did anything at all deserving of mockery. Sadly, we just can't think of anything funny to say about the 80-year-old president who talks to ghosts, wanders aimlessly around the room, and says weird racist things at inappropriate times, said producer Lauren Michaels. Oh, well, time to make fun of Trump again. According to sources, the rest of the cast felt the same way. Are there any jokes that we can make about the most powerful man in the world who says things like lying dog-faced pony soldier? Oh, crap, I'm coming up empty here, said Kenan Thompson. Believe me, we love the first parody Biden if he is so much as slipped on the stairs, crashed his bicycle, claimed to be Puerto Rican, or flat out exhibited all of the defining symptoms of dementia. When confronted by journalists, Lauren Michaels replied, look, our job is to satirize the biggest, most important issues of the day. Like a president who is no longer in power and living in at a golf resort. We're not here to ridicule the man in office who sniffs kids and makes up nonsensical words. Now, maybe if he had an unlikable VP who talks like a seven-year-old child in speeches, we'd have some good material. At publishing time, SNL producer Lauren Michaels finally caved and directed his team to tell some jokes about Biden once they hire a single funny cast member. Wow. Well done, Babylon Bee. That was actually really well done.
Yeah, very well done. All right, so with that being said, Pat, it is also time for us to continue on the WTF1. And I've got a WTF story for you, and it's one that has come out of the state of Georgia, because we talk about October surprises and people pulling out all the stops, if you will, right? And what have we seen in the state of Georgia? The Raphael Warnock and Herschel Walker race has tightened, to say the least. And some polling has Herschel Walker winning that race. In fact, quite a bit of polling these days has Herschel Walker narrowly, like within the margin of error, right? Within a 2-3% area winning that race. Some still have Warnock winning that race. But
I was gonna say, if you're within the margin of error, it usually favors the incumbent.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But that notwithstanding, the October surprise is suddenly Herschel Walker is a horrible human being who allegedly decided to tell multiple women to get abortions. And he's got four kids by four baby mamas and has nothing to do with any of his kids. And, oh, wait, the person who's speaking happens to be an absolute political activist named Christian Walker, one of the sons. Who also happens to be, wait for this, Pat, quote unquote queer. Doesn't have an agenda to grind at all, right?
Wait, it's one of Herschel Walker's sons?
Uh-huh. Herschel Walker has multiple kids, by the way.
I'm sure he does.
Has asked somebody for an abortion in his own handwriting back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And what has he been running a campaign on? Family values, right?
Right.
So I want to get into this, but I don't want to get too into the weeds on this one. But all I want to say on the WTF side of this is, do principles or winning matter? And I'm going to give you this video.
So does this change anything? I mean, do you want my opinion? You're listening. Not a damn thing. How many times have I said four very important words? These four words. Winning is a virtue. What I'm about to say is in no means a contradiction or a compromise of a principle. And please keep in mind that I am concerned about one thing and one thing only at this point. So I don't care if Herschel Walker paid to abort endangered baby eagles. I want control of the Senate. If the Daily Beast story is true, you're telling me Walker used his money to reportedly pay some skank for an abortion, and Warnock wants to use all of our monies to pay a whole bunch of skanks for abortions. And yes, when they're used predominantly over 99% of birth control and it's my taxpayer dollars, you have invited me up in your business and I will use whatever descript I would like to. Thank you. So it doesn't change anything for me. I don't know if he did it or not. I don't even care.
What? Huh? Okay. Is winning a virtue when you basically sell all of your other virtues? Mm-hmm. When you is winning a virtue if you have to sell your soul to win? Is winning a virtue when you sacrifice all the principles and values you claim to stand for? That is absolute deplorable, apprehensible by Dana Loesch.
And I want to be clear on this. Look, everybody has a past, right? My past is checkered. Your past has whatever it has in it.
Everybody's got stuff.
Everybody's got stuff, okay? There's a difference between everybody having stuff and having that stuff and attempting to shove family values down somebody's throat. Right. As if you currently have it and you haven't... let me be clear on this. You have yet to atone for those sins. If this is true, I agree with Dana Loesch. As long as this is proven to be true, he owes an explanation as to how his life has changed.
I agree.
And what has he done? And Christian Walker, one of his sons, who basically he alleged has never been involved in his life in any way, shape, or form. That's not family values either. How do you atone for that?
Right.
How do you do those things? Can I vote for somebody? Is the devil that I know that is Raphael Warnock, right? And I am being serious about that because he is a preacher, by the way, in a church, or was a preacher in a church. That's all you need to know. Who supports abort all the babies all the time, mm-hmm. on demand, mm-hmm. anytime, anywhere, right up until the second that he could shove it right back into the birth canal to kill it. Is that devil better than the devil you don't know in Herschel Walker? And what do I mean by that? Herschel Walker is telling you who you think he wants you to be. Or he is telling you whom he thinks that you want him to be, right? Mm. Who is he?
That's really not authentic, by the way.
This is my issue. Is that his authentic self or... is the other stuff in his past irrelevant today? I don't know the answer because he refuses to answer for it.
That's a problem.
Because here's the issue for me, Pat. You don't owe me a damn thing. I don't live in the state of Georgia.
No.
You owe the voters in the state of Georgia everything. You owe them the truth about the matter. You owe them the truth about your change in life. Because one thing that I do know about Herschel Walker is that, yes, early on in his life, he was a playboy, right? He was the epitome of the early 90s athlete, right?
Right.
What changed? Has he actually changed in his life? I know that he has because I know through things that he has talked about that he has changed through Christ, but how do I know that that is your core if you are unwilling to address the previous version of yourself. So I agree with Dana Loesch on this, that winning the Senate back matters because it is our way forward to creating a sandbag, if you will, against the spirit of the age. It is one way in which we can do that.
I don't disagree.
But it is not the end all be all that is worth giving up your values, your principles, your morals just to win.
And that is where I part ways with her.
And that's where I think this is a WTF. Because you are literally becoming the thing you hate.
Exactly.
How many times have we seen Dana Loesch and others win at all costs? No, 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 no. What is the price that you're willing? What is the price that you're about to pay to get Herschel Walker? These are two donkey candidates, as we have talked about in the state of Georgia. Two absolutely terrible candidates. Alabama sent Tommy freaking Tuberville to the Senate to do what? An F grade on conservative review? Let me be 100% clear on this. I also happen to believe that, again, just because you have a past doesn't mean that you're a hypocrite today.
No.
No. But the difference between a hypocrite today and a changed individual is what? Atonement. Admission. Showing remorse and change. And what I see from Christian Walker, who I'm not going to comment on the pain or the previous life that he has had. I'm not going there because I don't know and I can't pretend to know that. But what I do know is that currently today, there's questions because he is what? A queer activist. Where is this suddenly coming from in the month of October? Oh, we stayed silent long enough. You could have come out and sandbagged him in the Republican primary, right? You could have sandbagged him at the very beginning of the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're speaking? And now this story, this abortion story is being... That smell sounds like October surprise, full of bullshit.
Well, I've said this. How many times have I said this? Politics is timing.
Oh, 100%. 100%. They've been sitting on this story for a very long time. And if Walker was smart, he would have been out in front of this and he would have been telling his story for the past year. Right? Tell the story of how I changed, right? Tell the story of how I did bad things and I have atoned for them. There's a problem with that, though, because Christian Walker and others can say, really, you've atoned for it, except for you still aren't involved in my life. Now, you can also say, well, you're a grown-ass adult. You could have let him into your life, and you haven't, right?
Right.
Now, with that being said, let's continue down the WTF train. Next WTF story, Pat.
Well, this one comes out of the bag of Andrew's correct predictions.
Oh, no.
Trans surgery poised to become a $5 billion industry. So, as you've been saying the last few days, it's all about the money, money, money.
Money. That was good harmony there, Pat. Good harmony.
Yeah. Thank you. We've been working on that.
Yeah, I mean, this is, they've said the quiet part out loud and we've just exposed it. You know what, again, like, not to beat a dead horse or anything, but again, part of the steps on reviving liberty is to shine a light. And it's shining a light using their own words. They hate that it's true that you do it. They hate it. So much so that, as we, I think, briefly discussed yesterday, that they're trying, the American Medical Association is trying to sic the Department of Justice on anybody who dares to speak out against quote-unquote gender-affirming care. There is no greater evil in this country today, no greater evil than what this spirit of the age wants to do to our children. This is becoming a fad. There's no way in hell this is a $5 billion industry if it's just based off of real gender-affirming care, if you will. And I hesitated there because I hesitate to use the word gender. Because why? Gender's just a construct. Gender is just a construct of queer and quote-unquote gender theory. Gender is language, by the way, folks. That's the only way that this term has ever been used in the history of the world. It's always been sex because it's based in biology and truth. And I want you to understand this. This is about bend the knee or die. Okay? This is what this is. And I'm not talking literal in some cases. But I'm starting to question whether or not that is what some people mean. Because what they mean today is they're going to drum you out of all sectors of polite society. You're not going to be able to, if you don't conform, you are not going to be able to get a loan. You are not going to be able to deposit money in a bank. You are not going to be able to form a corporation or an LLC. They are going to look at all of your history, right? And decide whether or not you get to be part of society. They're going to boycott your businesses. They are going to ruin your life until you bend the knee. And if you don't, they're going to make sure that you can't live. You won't have a living. You can't make a living. You can't build a business. Nothing. You won't have anything. And think about this, Pat, right? Why are they going digital currency route? Why are they doing that? Why would the government go digital currency? Why? It's because they have the ability to what? Control thought, control speech, control everything.
Yep.
Okay. And if you don't subscribe to ESG, or if you don't subscribe to spirit of the age of the day, right? If you don't subscribe to all of those things and you're not a good person, except for I follow Christ and the teachings of Christ. If you don't bend the knee, they're going to drum you not just out of social media or whatever have you, right? They're going to drum you to the point where you're on the street or you die. It's that simple for me. That is the end goal for a lot of these people, even if they're not willing to say it right now. Because right. I have a question for those people who want to deny people loans, who want to deny people livelihoods, who want to deny people the ability to bank, the ability to do it. If you deny that, if you deny somebody that, how are they to survive? Period. Point blank. Oh, sir, we have a digital currency. Sorry, sir, your money's no good here. Wait, what? Look at what's going on in China right now. Not only are they at the point of a gun, making sure that you jab yourself over and over and over again, but they're stealing your money. They're stealing the money of the Chinese people, and suddenly it's not their money anymore. It's the money of the Communist Party, and they've made that money public money, not private money. What do you do? What do you do when that happens? You bend the knee or you starve yourself to death. That's the reality of the situation that we're facing. $5 billion industry. I guarantee you, as we continue down the spirit of the age road, if we continue down this spirit of the age road, which looks highly likely, unless something drastically and quickly changes, this $5 billion will be $50 billion in 5 years.
Oh, absolutely. Abso-freaking-lutely.
And it's disgusting because it's making money off the backs of unscience. There's nothing scientific about, let me be clear on this, Pat. Nothing is scientific about giving a 10-year-old pre-puberty hormone blocking drugs. There's nothing scientific about lopping off a 13-year-old's breast tissue or the or taking tissue from or skin from somebody's underarm to give them a fake women's parts and then making sure that men know how to tuck before they lob it off. There's nothing scientific about what is going on. It is horrible. It is mutilation. And it should not be allowed. And it at least shouldn't be allowed until you're the age of 18. Because at that point, you are an adult. And if you want to mutilate yourself, guess what? That's on you, bro. Or that's on you, gal.
I will say this, though. Even if you are 18 and are considering doing that, there's still nothing scientific about self-mutilation.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things that are not scientific that people do to themselves, right? You go ahead and do that, but don't come crying to me it's the old parents adage. How many times have I told you not to stick the light bulb stick the penny in the light bulb socket? You know what I mean? In the light socket, and you stick the penny in. Don't come crying to me.
Yep. It's just kind of like how many times your parents told you to speak proper English and you can't do it.
Dumbass.
Speaking of COVID, current former IRS employees took thousands in fraudulent COVID relief, spent it on Gucci, a Mercedes, and trips to Vegas.
That's all I have to say to that.
Okay, okay. You want another one then?
Sure. Yep. Mm-hmm,
Okay. James Madison rep invites Lizzo.
Yep.
Excuse me. Hold on a second. The artist that never was Lizzo to tour his Montpelier estate after she twerked with his crystal flute.
So I will say this. In defense of Lizzo, she is a classically trained flutist.
She is. Mm-hmm. She is. Which is fine.
But what in the absolute hell? Like, can you have some sort of respect for history and the things that you're... What's next? Lizzo doesn't just twerk with the flute. She plays with it.
Here's the thing.
In public?
If she just played the flute, I'd have less of a problem.
Right.
I really would.
Great. You played James Madison's flute. That's kind of what it was meant to be done with.
Right.
Okay. I don't got a problem with that. I have a problem with sexualizing this. Like, what the hell?
I do.
Why do you need to go up on stage wearing nothing? As if this is empowerment and as if you're some brave soul. No, you're not. She's a terrible human being. She is literally up there with Chrissy Teigen for me on the terrible human being scale. A celebrity terrible human being scale, is there anybody more terrible than Chrissy Teigen?
I mean, that's
maybe
tough.
Bette Midler?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe Whoopi Goldberg?
Maybe. I mean, I think there's some you could make arguments for, but it's hard. I'm hard pressed.
I am very hard pressed. I mean, we were being gaslit to now have to believe that Chrissy Teigen's miscarriage was a purposeful abortion. It was really an abortion. And that's what they're sad about now, her and John Legend. Also, is there a more inauthentic fake individual on the male side than John Legend?
No,
because how can you be married to Chrissy Teigen and be a really good guy? Also, she holds what belief system that you're backing up? Okay.
Yeah.
Show me your friends and I'll show you who you are. Show me your wife and I'll show you who you are.
Mm. Got one more for you.
Oh, hell no.
Speaking of morals. Billy Eichner, I'm assuming that's how you say his name. Billy Eichner blames straight people after Bros movie bombs.
So those, for those of you who have been living under a rock and haven't been paying attention to other libertarian and conservative talk, Bros is a romantic comedy for the gays.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I can't use that. It's for the homosexuals now. Or
I don't think
am I not allowed to use homosexual because it's gay?
I don't think you can use the term gay anymore.
No, you can use the term gay now. You can't use the term homosexual because that's offensive.
Huh?
Because remember, you had to use the term homosexual because gay was a slur. And now that gay is not a slur, it's homosexual, that is, because now you're defining people as being sexual with one sex.
Uh-huh.
And that is bigotry.
So are you also saying in the same breath that heterosexual is also?
Well, you see, hateful? Because assuming somebody's gender is bad enough.
Right.
But then you're also assuming that they're only attracted to that specific other gender. That happens to be the same gender. I mean, biological set. What the
fuck? I can't even keep up anymore.
But folks, this movie, okay, Bros, a rom-com for the gays. So if you're straight, Pat, and you don't want to watch gay sexual intimate rom-com behavior,
yeah,
you're a bigot? I have a question.
Yeah.
Now, I understand, but I understand that it's harder for the gays, if you will. I'm using that term loosely, folks, to not see heterosexual activity in movies, right? And in videos and normal culture.
Sure.
But do they go seeking it out?
Also, yes.
What?
Wouldn't they, though? I mean, because, like, if you're going to go see a movie that you know, no. a romantic scene in it.
Right, but they're not seeking it out. They're, you know what I mean? Like, they're not actively, like, I can't wait to go watch Jennifer, you know, Jennifer Lopez and whatever go at it. No.
In that sense, you're right.
Right? Mm. So, I'm the problem for not wanting to see that. On the opposite, I'm not attracted to that. Why the hell would I go see that? It turns out, Pat, that creating a niche movie for a niche market and throwing it on 3,300 screens and making only $5 million while putting $30 million into the marketing of it, let alone how much it cost it. Oh, it's all bigoted. And you're a bigot if you don't want to see dudes blowing dudes.
Yeah, no.
No, I'm not. No. Yeah, I also don't really care in my rom-coms to see dudes and ladies going at it. Like actual, like, you know, the physical act. I don't need to see that in a rom-com. Right?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Like,
also, what's romantic about that? Also, you're serving a niche market.
Mm-hmm.
Did all of the gay people all over the world go see it? Apparently not. But we're assholes for not wanting to see that, Pat.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Yeah. Let's see what you did there.
And with that, Pat, your final thoughts.
Don't get lost. Remember who you are. No means no. And stop ruining baseball.
Please be smart, be safe, be kind. As always, Matthew, 547.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.